What's the Lord's table all about? This is not some ritual that we go through mindlessly. And it's not even tagged on to the end of worship. I don't want us to think of it in those terms. We've just heard the word. We've heard Christ exalted. And God has given us a picture. We talked about pictures a little while ago. Here's a picture that we're holding in our hand of the very two elements that we saw in our text today in Exodus 29. The bullock and the two rams, what were they for? That wasn't just to drag them around behind and keep them alive. They were to sacrifice. And so it is this cup that we hold in our hands. It represents the blood shed, not of bulls and goats, because blood of bulls and goats couldn't put away sin. It was a covering. That word covering means atonement. That's why you see that word in the Old Testament. But when you come over to the New Testament, I know you read old writers, they talk about Christ's atoning death. But his death was not a covering for sin. His death was a propitiation for sin. His death was a putting away of sin. And even in the Old Testament, it was announced that when he would die, that sin would be put away as far as the east is from the west. You know, when you get in your car and start driving east, do you ever, in driving east, figure now I'm headed west? No, it just, you keep going east from the west. Think about that. How far removed the sins of those for whom Christ died. God sees them no more. Scriptures describe it as being buried in the deepest sea. And so all of this is typified in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. How is it that his people, and if we're his, we've been set aside, sanctified, we've been redeemed, we've been justified just before God? Well, only through his shed blood. But the second element, just like we saw with the consecration of Aaron, that unleavened bread. And this is the picture that is given to us. We're holding in our hands the only picture that God has given us to do what? Remember his son. That's what it's about. That's why we look around here. We don't have pictures hanging on the wall, no other religious symbols. There's a reason. None of that God ordained. There are people today that feel like they have to have a picture of a so-called Jesus hanging on the wall to make the place to be a meeting place. Do you realize there were artists back in Christ's day? Had Christ so purposed, he could very well have told a disciple, "No, when you go out and preach, I want you to find somebody that can do my portrait here, and I want them to make copies." They made copies of Scripture. I want them to make copies of me, so when you go out and preach, that even the little kids now can have a picture of me. You see how diluted religion has become, to whereby today, even when you open a Bible, and they call it a children's Bible, you open up and there's all these pictures in there. Rip them out. Go get a regular Bible, just like we have here, the authorized version. And the Word alone is all that's necessary. But even now, with kids present, adults, what are the pictures that God has given us of his son? The bread, the unleavened bread. And I always make the remark, if you look at it, hold it in your hand, it's got fire marks on it. It's been put through the fire. Is that not a type of the Lord Jesus Christ himself and his sinless perfection and yet put through the fire of affliction, of judgment for the sin of his people? And then the wine, representing his shed blood. Both essential, necessary. And here in Mark 14, as they ate that last Passover meal, the Lord had said that one of them that was at that table at that time would betray him. That was while they were eating the Passover meal. And verse 19 of Mark 14 says, they began to be sorrowful and to say unto him one by one, "Is it I?" And another said, "Is it I?" And he answered and said unto them, "It is one of the 12 that dippeth with me in the dish." There was a sop, there was the unleavened bread, and the Lord said, whoever takes that bread and dips it in this sop, that's the one that will betray me. You see, even Judas Iscariot put on a good front. In fact, we saw that last time in our portion in John, that when he got up to go out and the Lord said, whatever you're going to do, go do quickly, they thought he was going to go out and pay alms to the poor because he was a treasurer. None of those other disciples knew it until the Lord revealed it. Same thing here. I don't know who is the Lord's and who isn't. But I do know that those are the Lord's. He separates out. And just like with Judas, I believe when the Lord said to him, verse 21, the Son of Man indeed goeth as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good were it for that man if he had never been born. And yet the Lord purposed that be born for that purpose, the son of perdition. And you read over in John, immediately after he put the bread in the sop, he got up and left. Satan entered into him. This shows that Christ was directing all things, even pertaining to his death. So I don't believe Judas was there when the Lord instituted this table. That now, some 2,000 years later, you stop and think about it. Here we are, doing exactly as he did with his disciples and taught them. But it says in verse 22 of Mark 14, as they did eat, again, they were eating the Passover meal, Jesus took bread and blessed and broke it. Why is it broken? Because a body was broken. No bone was broken, but it talks about him being bruised. As Isaiah 53 talks about, it pleased the Father to bruise him. That means to run it through the mill. Just like we mentioned a little while ago, wheat is sown, grows up, cut down, crushed, put through the mill to bring forth bread. That's a picture of Christ's sufferings as the bread of life. But he broke it and gave it to them and said, take, eat, this is my body. Doesn't mean that something mystically happens to where it becomes the body of Christ. No, this is my body. It's what it represents, his body. Sinless. A body hast thou prepared for me, is what the scriptures say. Why? Because as God, that God cannot die, but as a man, the God-man, that's who died that day on the cross. As a man. And then he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. So as we partake, what's this all about? Verse 24, he said unto them, this is my blood of the New Testament, newly revealed, because in the old it was concealed, in the new revealed. Now was the fulfillment. And he says, which is shed for many. He still hadn't shed it, but it was so certain that he would, that it's put as if it were done. And yet he still needed to go to the cross and shed that blood. And he said, verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God. And when he says that, does that mean there's some sweet by and by? No. When was the kingdom of God established? When he rose from the grave. He paid the debt. The foundation was laid. He rose from the grave, ascended on high, where he reigns, and his kingdom now has been established. And by his Spirit, he's drawn to himself everyone for whom he paid the debt. Not one will be missing. You've heard me often say there's plenty of room in heaven, but no vacancies. Everyone will be there for whom Christ paid the debt. And then it says, when they had sung in him, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Let's thank the Lord for what we're about to partake. And we'll sing a hymn and then we'll have our meal together. Gracious Father, I thank you for your word, how plain it is, but how we need your Spirit to be our teacher. I pray that even now, as we partake of this bread and wine, that our thoughts not be on anyone else, not even on ourselves, but on the Savior that this represents. May he be honored and glorified in all that we say, do, and are. We give you the praise and glory in his precious name. Amen.